Good time here.
Live in Los Angeles, Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara, Don and Mike Show on Westwood One Entertainment. Thank you for listening in Grand Junction, Colorado on KBZS. That's the Buzz Sacramento, Hot Talk 1140, KHTK, and it's Syracuse, New York on Talk Radio, WOLF. Now, we only have one guy who wants to play our Dr. Laura game.
Yeah, because at this time of the day, things have thinned out a little bit. I guess we just have to bring Orson Bean back.
We'll find another. We got to have at least two. Jimmy, go over by that television. Hold on. But before you put the mic, hold on, Jimmy.
Jimmy.
Hey, Jimmy.
Wait a minute. Jimmy.
Before you put the microphone on, I was just walking in the store over there where they sell like stuff from the show Friends and from Jerry Seinfeld and from NFL on Fox. And they got a videotape going over there in the National Association of Broadcasters store. It's by this guy named Dan O'Day. And it's called Building a Winning Morning Show.
Super.
And I'm over there listening to the videotape of this idiot trying to talk about how to do a good DJ show. And I thought, we got to share this on the air. Now, I don't know exactly what's being said now, but can we hear some of the audio from that tape?
That was you.
You guys are in the news lately because of this Jamaican bobsled team of yours.
All right, let me set this up. He's doing a seminar. And what he's doing is playing tapes of disc jockeys to program directors.
Wait, is he trying to be the Tony Robbins of
the
disc jockey world?
Yes, absolutely he is.
All right, can I? What is it? Constant and never-ending improvement.
Okay, back to the tape.
Tomas, how did you get started in this bobsledding thing?
Well, Jamaica used to be...
I can see the tape from here. What he's doing now is he's playing a tape of a morning show.
And then he will tell what they're doing wrong.
Nothing. I want to fly to Calgary.
This is a videotape this guy is selling here today.
How much?
$49.95.
My God.
Tomas,
crazy world.
Crazy world.
So he's going to analyze this show, right?
I was just watching this during our commercial break.
A student,
and the videotape, as this tape is playing, he's standing there, swaying back and forth.
It's like bad home video.
Yeah. I mean, this could be an audio tape.
The guy's at a podium playing a disc jockey tape.
Tomas, what is the training like that you had to undergo
now,
for this?
And now there's a shot of all the disc jockeys in the audience who are listening to this tape at a seminar.
And enjoying it, Tom. Enjoying the comedy.
And to jump into it.
Amazing, isn't it?
That's an Olympic event, hey?
Hey.
It's a crazy world.
And once again, the camera on him as he is simply smiling, listening to the tape.
Now, when I was listening to this a moment ago, he was talking about all the stupid things disc jockeys do. Let's give this another second.
That presents a problem.
He's taking a sip of water, which would indicate that maybe he's going to talk now.
Are there any special techniques or anything that you use?
Here's what the back of the box says. You will be introduced to specific principles that help your morning show increase its impact. And examples in action and bad examples of the on-air performance of morning disc jockeys and how they can be improved. If only your disc jockeys had listened to this tape, they would know how to build a team show.
A team show? You mean like be team players?
Right. Position the characters on your show.
Uh-huh.
Defining the newsperson's character.
Ah.
On-air guerrilla tactics.
Yeah.
Characters versus funny voices.
Mm-hmm.
And how misuse of benchmarks can kill a morning show. Then they have quotes from disc jockeys.
Hmm.
I understand my role as a player in the morning show better now. I appreciate the positive illustrations on how to do a morning show and the negative.
I'm feeling a little nauseous.
How not to do it. Your tape is the best ever on putting together a morning show. All right, let's go back to the tape now. Is he talking yet?
Let's see.
Why were people on the streets of New York saying, hey, it's a crazy world, and laughing? Why did that catch
on? This is the genius now who's put out a tape on how to do a morning show. A video
tape. Can we repeat any phrase and it'll become a catchphrase? No. But you're right. It was repeated. What else?
It was true to the character.
It was true to the character, the gentleman said. This defined the character. If I said that Tomas Lavoisier's character is happy-go-lucky, would that kind of be it?
Okay, hold it right there. I want to observe something here. You're putting disc jockeys in an academic environment, and one of the main problems with that, the reason most of us are disc jockeys is because we failed in an academic environment.
Is this sublime? Is this ridiculous? Back to the tape in progress.
Yes, it has to be repeated. Yes, it has to be short and memorable. Yes, it has to be relatable to everyday life. But most important, it has to come from the character. Years ago, Ken and Bob in Los Angeles. I think it was after the Jonestown massacre. They went on the air and said, everything's going to be okay. And they ended up with this Eggbok, E-G-B-O-K. And that became their catchphrase. T-shirts, bumper stickers, billboards.
Oh, you know. Does anybody else understand now what a stupid business this is that we're in? Do you listen to this? Listen to this idiot talk about radio. Okay, turn it back up, Jimmy. Let me hear some more of this.
Do you use a guerrilla tactic to build cum? No. That's not going to get to new listeners. Do you use it to build loyalty? Yes. Make people feel that they are part of the club. Now, I always watch an audience when I play this, and at first nobody laughs.
We're laughing now.
It's a crazy world. But then
we're getting material out of it right
more
now.
And more, with one exception, and the same here. One time you guys didn't laugh. One of the disc jockeys, and it wasn't Ross, had to jump in and say, it's a crazy world. You guys didn't laugh. Okay? I don't know if you heard. Ross said, thanks, Scott. Aside from that, though,
yeah,
both of them, I thought, did a great
aside
job.
Aside from that, I'll tell you, a good time was had by all.
Aside from that, it was a real good bit.
This
hold
is
on,
painful.
Here we go.
Hold on,
I
more.
Hope your morning hosts are professional enough, smart enough, good enough performers, and secure enough to let that person get the laugh.
Oh, wait a minute. He's talking to
it's
program directors.
Mm-hmm.
I just
if David
figured
Letterman
that out.
Stand-up comedian on the show, and the guy is doing his act. Letterman doesn't yell comments from the sideline. He lets that guy get the laughs. It's Letterman's show. He gets the credit. If you've got a funny character, feed that character. Let that guy be real.
What
let
I want to know is what stupid now, guys are buying this videotape today? Who is picking this tape up and saying, this is my key to success? This is what I've learned at the National Association of Broadcasters Convention.
It's ideas and thoughts on the business we are in.
All right, you know, this is like a car wreck. You know, you drive by and you don't want to see the mangled bodies, but you do. I got to hear just a little more of it.
Oh, God.
Hey, Sonny. One of the tests of a real character is if the character is funny, you can place him or her in any situation and it will be funny. Tomas caught on very quickly with the audience. Soon the Olympics were over, but they wanted to keep the character. They had to move to New York City. He does not have an American education. He does not have much money. No. He's going to have to find two things very quickly, a place to live and...
Turn it off now.
That's the way it is when I'm writing all my characters.
Turn it off now. Here's my question, all you people. Doesn't this make you ashamed to be in this business? How can you be in a business that sells these videotapes?
My God, he's preaching. Watch out.
Building a winning morning show.
Well, you have the tape now.
For the first time, you and your staff can attend an exciting information-packed seminar by Dan O'Day.
You know, one of the things that I liked was that he was talking to morning disc jockeys. No, it's even worse than that. He's talking to program directors.
Yeah.
When did Dan O'Day ever do a radio show? I'd like to hear what his show sounds like.
Is he on the air anywhere?
Oh, I don't know. But he's an expert. Let me hear a little more of that.
I don't know what that picture is like in your minds. It's different for each of you, and everyone is right.
See, I think everybody at home gets a picture in their mind of how stupid this convention is.
Show, and this is how most disc jockeys do characters. There might
here
be something
go.
A little bit familiar
okay,
about this.
He's going to play a bad tape now.
He's playing a bad tape.
Good morning, Harry Sinclair, Breakfast Club.
What a boogeyman.
Yes, I am a boogeyman, the only stand-up comedian from the Middle East.
Yeah.
Well, it's good to have you here this morning.
Thank you. I come. I have job.
Oh, goody.
What is the difference between an Iraqi's head and a bowling ball?
An Iraqi's head and a bowling... I don't know. What?
After a few frames, the Iraqi's head starts to get soft. It is a crazy one.
Yeah.
You paying attention,
what,
Mike?
Sorry, I drifted off. This would be, in fairness to the tape, this is the bad example.
Right.
The vacuum cleaner only has one dirt bag inside.
See, now, we can't control the fast-forward on the videotape. I'd like to fast-forward now to hear what the genius has to say to these guys who are doing the bad show.
You have the tape now.
And you'll be
I
able
only
to
have
study.
The box to the tape.
He took it off the little display.
I only have the box.
And it's getting... I think we ought to get some money for this commercial that we're giving for it right now.
No, not a commercial. I am pointing out the hypocrisy of this entire event today.
No, is that true?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't get that.
Yes, that is the cutting-edge bit I'm doing here, Mike. All right, Jim, that's enough, I guess. Thank you. That's okay. Come on back.
There it is.
Well, you better put the box back. There you go. Dan O'Day's Program Director Grad School.
Oh, that's it's for PDs.
Presents Building a Winning Morning Show.
PDs will enjoy that. I have that prediction to make. I think that's accurate. PDs will love that tape.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. Thank you, Dan. Now, how many guys do we have to play our Dr. Laura game? We only got the one guy? Oh, we got to have at least one more guy.
Sure.
Got to get one more guy. Let's get one more radio guy. How about you, sir? Hi, where are you from?
Dallas, Fort Worth.
And what do you do in the radio business?
News director.
News director. You want to win $100?
Fine.
All right, come here. Have a seat. Come
it's
here,
a very a seat. Simple way to win $100.
All right, that's two guys. Now that
you're
we
right.
We fight.
Simple way.
You no, it's very easy.
You don't have to do anything.
Divine here's, Brown said that.
Divine Brown said that. I like that.
Here's the deal. You've heard of this bitch, Dr. Laura?
My wife listens to it all the time.
Right. Yeah, of course.
I don't.
Right. Good for
good
you,
for
sir.
You.
Good for you. Who's not sick of Dr. Laura telling everybody how to run their lives?
This is true.
Well, what we're
she's not a PhD in her that field, but oh well.
So what we're going to do is we're going to pretend right now that I'm Dr. Don, and this is my friend Mike, Dr.
Take
Mike.
A seat.
Hello.
Now, we got you, and we got the other guy. What's your name?
Mike.
And Mike, where are you from?
I'm from Chicago.
Who are we going to be calling that's close to you, Mike?
It's a friend of mine. His name's Camilo.
Camilo.
Camilo?
Camilo.
And what right. is it that you think Camilo might need some counseling about?
Well, I think his girlfriend may be a little too controlling.
Mm. Ah, all right. We can handle that.
Common
so,
problem.
So what we're going to do is we're going to call Camilo, and then we're going to call the friend of this gentleman from Dallas. Now, whichever one of your friends keeps us on the phone the longest amount of time before figuring out that we are not really doctors.
That's right.
That's when you guys will each, one of you wins $100, you see.
And but, they will be figuring out whether we're not really doctors one of two ways. Either saying that, or saying this is BS, you know. Hopefully they don't say that exactly, but or they simply crush the phone down into the cradle and hang up and terminate the call.
Because now, see, maybe you figured out that when we give this real-life advice, it will be the type of real-life advice that we give, not necessarily the type that Dr. Laura would give.
Yes, it will have our homespun charm.
Okay.
Well, so my only problem with that is that he's a listener to the show, so he might be able to pick right up.
Well, that won't
well,
work.
Then, well, then get me somebody else. Don't you have any other friends who don't listen to our show?
Well, I hope not.
Now, come on. They got to be. You got a sister, a brother, something like that?
Yeah, but he's.
Come on, put your.
Somebody will be home.
Put your thinking cap
all right,
on.
Right.
We'll
right.
use this guy. We'll use the guy from Dallas, and find me one more guy. We're up on a break. I'm sorry, I was riveted by that that videotape of how to be a better disc jockey.
As we all were, yeah. Just like Simonet.
So we will be right back.
Radio gods, Don and Mike.
MIWJFK. Come on, let's see another one.
Is that enough, John?
I'm tired, Mommy.
Quitter.
You're only a kid.
So was I. Only a kid. I learned early. Life goes by too damned fast. You've got to know how to compete and win. I don't want her growing up a spoiled Hollywood brat just because she's Crawford's daughter.
With a rich, meaty taste that your dog will love. The Don and Mike Show.
You know what I want to know? How come we get a new station? How come it's always a secret? Chris Ann, how come it's a secret?
You know, I'm not supposed to talk about it yet? Is that the rule?
Now, here's the deal.
Why?
They don't want anybody in their market to know about it, so you shouldn't talk about that station right now.
I meet this nice lady. She comes up. Well, no, at first I don't think she's nice. During the break there.
What did she do to you?
She comes up and she says, "What are you going to say about Dr. Laura?" And I said, I couldn't pick Dr. Laura out of a lineup. I said, we're going to make fun of her. We're going to do our Dr. Laura game. I say, why? And she says, because I'm an affiliate that's just signed for your show. And I said, hey, nice to meet you. And then Chris Ann says, shh, it's a secret. Don and Mike aren't supposed to know yet.
Hey,
don't you
on.
Know that Chris Ann, he's a sensitive man doing a very sensitive program. He cannot be upset in
it's
this
It's growth for the
but
program.
But he didn't sign the contract yet. So this isn't a done deal.
Oh, I got to close
She's
that deal.
She's under the impression that he has, but he's out of the country right now.
You're going to close that? You're going to close that deal, all right?
October 28th. Yeah,
I got
we're going to close
well.
That deal.
Excellent.
I will.
Good.
I've done well for you.
It's a very lucrative Southern California station.
Really?
If you get my drift.
Write it down.
Okay.
I want to know.
All right.
I want to know. I like to know them all. I like to know each and every one of them.
Very lucrative.
Prior to the delivery of the... Ah.
Very lucrative.
Very lucrative.
Very well worked for Ted Baxter. Okay? If anybody remembers that line from Mary Tyler Moore.
There you go.
All right, now we're going to try this Dr. Laura thing. This is another one of my half-brained ideas, and I'm not sure how it's going to work, but who hasn't heard this nutty Dr. Laura giving everybody advice? All I know is my wife loves Dr. Laura, and she says, I listen to this show all the time. So the other day we're in the car, and she says, turn it on.
Right.
I turn it on. Here's Dr. Laura bitching at some woman about how she runs her life. And then 2 minutes later, Dr. Laura mentions that she hasn't talked to her own mother for 5 years.
Yeah, and you figured when you heard that, you can do this, I can do this,
anybody
we can do
can.
It. Absolutely.
So, we're going to play a new game now where I'm going to be Dr. Don and you're Dr. Mike.
We can handle it. We can dole out the advice. There's no problem.
Now, we have three contestants. What we're going to do is call each of these contestants, call a member of their family. When they pick up the phone, we will start our clock. It will become apparent from the moment that we come on the air that we are not actual psychologists or whatever it is that Dr. Laura says that she is.
Whoever exposes us
as the fraud, in the quickest amount of time, will win for the contestant playing with them $100 in cash.
That's right. And, of course, exposing us goes something like, you guys ain't really doctors. There's no way. There's absolutely no way.
Right. So the first person to figure out that we're not really doctors wins the prize. Jimmy, who are we starting with here? We'll start with this guy. Hi. Now, did you come up with
Mike.
Somebody?
Yeah, I got another Mike? Person.
Another person, and we're going to call this. Who is this person that you came up with?
It's a friend of mine, Susanna.
Susanna, right. And what is Susanna's problem?
She's got a lot of problems, but her biggest problem is that she's too picky with bad men.
Too picky about men.
Now, the way we're going to handle this is you're going to say you're in California.
Okay.
You're on with a couple of guys who do a show like Dr. Laura, Dr. Don, and Dr. Mike.
Okay.
And then we'll begin the biggie. And that's when back at the station, you should start the clock, play some music, but put the music in audition or whatever it is so she can't hear the music over the telephone, and we'll run a clock here.
Right.
And remember, I don't have to cue you, Mike. The wackier the advice, the better.
Absolutely, Don. I think I can handle that.
All right. Are we calling now?
Tell me about your dream, Anna. Tell me about your dream.
We could always do that one. Does it involve a train going into a tunnel?
Did you feel as though you were running through a field of bananas and then you are falling?
And falling. All right, we're calling Susanna. Oh, Susanna, don't you cry for me. Oh, Susanna, !!
And Mike, you got to help us out here. You got to set the table for this.
Because the money will be yours if you play the role right.
That's right. Cold, hard cash for you, Mike.
Got it.
All right. Susanna, not there? Nope. Sounds to me like, what was this, a cell phone we're calling?
Could be a voicemail.
Oh,
sorry, Mike. You're not going to win money.
All right. Okay. No need for that. Let's move on. Now, who's this for?
Next person.
Michelle. Michelle's our next contestant.
Hi, Michelle. You just came up here. How you doing?
Hi, Michelle. And pray tell, are you from, Michelle?
Here's the microphone.
Where are you from?
She's putting her headphones on. Here's your microphone. Go ahead.
Fort Lauderdale.
Fort Lauderdale.
And what do you do in radio, Michelle?
Actually, I'm in TV now.
You're in TV now.
I started in radio, though.
How did you climb out of radio?
Well, I'm an intern now in TV. I was in radio while I was in college.
Well, we had a TV program once, and it scared people.
We're going to be calling your sister, Meredith.
No, actually, you're calling my mom now.
Are you calling your mom? What is it about your mom that supposedly the radio psychologist wants to help her with?
I just figured we could get some help. I was on my own for 4 years in college, and now as an intern, I'm back living with my parents. So I'm sure.
Oh,
you're
living
imagine.
With your parents.
Yes.
Gotcha.
All righty.
All right, I believe that our prognosis is ready. Are we dialing up Mama now?
She's supposed to guess this fast, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Then you win the money. Yeah,
And I can't say anything.
You can't. No. You just set it up that you're at the NAB. You're here with a couple of guys like Dr. Laura, and we're going to talk about the relationship you have with your mother. And then remember, as soon as she says,
"Yeah, babe,
hello,"
yes, yeah.
I think this is the wrong number.
The wrong number?
This would not be a surprise for our show.
We have called the wrong person. This person obviously does not need our advice.
Hello, who is this?
Yeah.
Yes, hello. Are you sure this isn't your mom? What's your mom's name?
Marilyn.
Marilyn.
Marilyn, is this Marilyn? Are you Marilyn?
Hello, Marilyn.
Marilyn.
Mom, is that you?
Hello, Mom.
No.
Mom.
All right. Is that the correct number? Not on the radio, please. Right.
Yeah. That is the right number?
All right. That's correct.
All right. We will redial. You know, I'm very surprised because our board operator, Charles Broyle, is not prone to make mistakes.
No, not at all. Not since we got him the big, giant, oversized keypad with the numbers extra large and glowing so we can see them.
We're sorry. Clear. Your call did not go through. Will you...
And he's now going to try again as his...
It's working great, Beav.
His tiny little fingers find the big numbers.
This program... Hey, Tony, this program working like clockwork.
As it always does.
Ah, there's a ring. Okay.
Sound like your mom's ring?
Sounds just like it.
Good. Excellent.
You know, yes, and that is a fact. We, is
Mom?
Yeah?
Yeah, hi. How are you?
Oh, I know it's you because it's on the other line.
Oh, can you get off with her really quick?
I'm just saying goodbye, so hold on.
Okay.
Does your mom take an inordinately long time to say goodbye?
No, it's just that's my sister. So.
Yeah, I know. I just wondering whether it's going to be...
No, she knows I'm here.
I got to go, or whether it's going to be, you know...
So remember now, you tell your mom, now as soon as she says hello, Jimmy, hit the stopwatch as soon as she says hello. And then the clock will be running.
You can say you're on the Dr. Don and Dr. Mike show.
Well, she won't really know what that is.
You guys haven't gotten there. Right, you explain it to
That's
her.
Right. You'll tell her what's going on, and then we dole out the quality, the top shelf quality, Chivas Regal advice.
She's coming
Boy,
back
you in. Called that right. She has taken a long time to say goodbye.
My sister's in college. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's an excuse for your mom to stay on the phone with her?
She's probably a little homesick, so.
You guys think she's sobbing right now? Oh, here
mom,
we go.
Mom?
Yes.
Mom, you okay?
Oh, my God. Black lung.
Mom, we're on the radio here, just so you know. We're on the Don and Mike show. I'm at the convention here.
What do you mean on the radio?
We're on the radio. Listen, we're on the radio because they're going to help us with the problem. You know how I just moved back in from school and I need some advice, things like that.
Hello, ma'am. I'm Dr. Don.
Hello, and I'm Dr. Mike, and we're here to help you. What we do primarily on this program is we help people with family problems.
We understand. We are both trained psychologists. We understand that you have a problem with your daughter.
Oh, no, she doesn't have a problem. No.
Well, why don't you explain for us the
Mom,
problem, and then we can help.
Yeah, it's just kind of hard moving back in now. You know, she waits up for me sometimes, and she just likes to know where I am. So we just need some help.
Your daughter was mentioning to us how you are cramping her style.
Yeah,
and how she would like, and I'm going to be very upfront here, Michelle, because that's the type of honest show that we do here on the Dr. Don, Dr. My show.
That's what makes it work, Dr. Don.
Your daughter has mentioned to us that there are many, many young men that she would like to bring home in bed. However... She has
Mom, she knows I didn't say anything like that, right, Mom?
Well, no. Let's hold on. Let's be honest here, Michelle. This is what you just told us.
You were talking about how difficult it is because of your mother's constant inability to let go.
It's time to come to terms with the fact your daughter is a woman who loves having sex with men. She loves having sex with lots of men, and she wants to have sex with men in your house.
Our question to you, Mom, would be, why can't you just simply accept her behavior and let her go on with her life?
When is she moving to California?
Ma'am, she's not moving to California. She is staying in Florida. And as a matter of fact, she was telling us that she has a man that she wants to bring over her first night back, and she would like for him to be able to spend the night. They would like to be able to have intercourse, and they would like to have your blessing.
Is that possible? Because if we can simply get by these societal problems, that these superficial problems that really mean nothing, and you, Mom, can say yes.
In many ways, the Peter Pan syndrome, Mike.
Intercourse in the house, Don. Something with
Mom?
That most parents just don't seem to accept.
Here. Yeah, help me out here, Mom. You're not really...
Michelle,
we don't want any coaching. That's part of the Dr. Don and Dr. Mike show. There's no coaching allowed. We really, Mom is the problem here. It's not you having intercourse with as many men as you want under the roof of your house.
What, excuse me?
I said it's probably Dad that's the problem.
It's probably Dad.
Meeting, so can you guys hold on for a second?
No, ma'am.
Wait,
hold on.
No, Mom,
we can't get
the other line.
So is what you are saying...
you can't get the other line, Mom.
Is what you are saying is that it is all right with you for your daughter to have sex with as many men as she likes in the house?
I think we'll have them over for dinner first.
Have him over for dinner. If you do that, and I think this works, Dr. Don, you'll back me up on this.
Yes, Dr. Mike.
As long as when the suitor comes to the home, you serve cheese.
Now... How would you feel? Let me ask you another thing that Michelle asked us. How would you feel about Michelle letting you be a bit of a voyeur when she's having sex with these men? She's mentioned to us that it would...
I need to talk to you at this point.
She mentioned to us that it would turn her on to have her mother watch her have sex with other men.
Go ahead, Mom. Go ahead.
I think it's time for us to have a long talk.
Well, no, this is on the Dr. Don, Dr. Mike show. We share our feelings, and that is, and she's here. What do you mean long talk? What would you talk about? Her alternative lifestyle, her desire to be watched, that she has so eloquently explained to us
on this
program?
I'm here, Mom.
Okay.
It's okay.
I need you to call me back. I'm really sorry I have to cut this short.
Ma'am, listen, I apologize, but we also, your daughter needs help. Your daughter is a sexual addict. Your daughter needs to come to grips with the fact that, can I tell you something, what she told us?
Do you know
how many times?
Thanks so much.
Hey, Mom?
What was the time on that?
What's the time there, Jimmy?
What was the time?
What is the time? What is it?
4 minutes and 14 seconds.
All right.
Can I call her back now?
Congratulations.
No.
Thank you.
No,
are you going to shake my hand?
Now, we're going to try the guy from Dallas now. If his friend stays on with us less than 4 minutes and 15 seconds,
he will win the money, and your mom, God love her, was a very patient woman, and we appreciate that.
You know, and there must be a little truth in what we were saying. Mom wasn't totally floored by that.
Is your mom an open-minded individual?
No, I just want a phone to call her right now.
Hold on. Will you call her in a second? Now, our friend from Dallas, who are we going to be calling?
Coworker Trish Hodge.
And what is the problem with Trish?
Her inability to keep a man.
All right.
This is, again, right up the alley of Dr. Don and Dr. Mike.
Absolutely. Time for Trish to explore her gay side.
You're reading my mind.
Hello? Trish.
Hey.
Trish.
Hey.
Roland.
Hey.
What's going on?
No political forum tonight.
Okay, good.
Did you get my message about the Katie Awards?
Not what?
Okay, I left
Trish.
You better explain to her what's going on.
Tell her we're on the air here.
We're on a radio show here in Los Angeles. They are based out of D.C.
Trish, hello.
We're with Dr. Don and Dr. Mike.
I am sorry about that. Hi.
And they want to talk to you about a problem that you have.
That's Roland, right?
Roland has told us a little bit about you.
Roland Trish has gone into actually great detail.
Trish, this is a show, okay?
Okay.
We are doing a serious psychological show.
Okay.
Roland has told us about your problem with men. Yes.
And in specifically, your inability to keep a man, and we think we can help you.
What?
Roland has also told us that he thinks you may have some lesbian-laden tendencies.
And here on the Don and Mike show, what we'd like to tell you to do, is it Trish, Roland, that's her name?
Yes, it's Trish.
Trish, we want you to get in touch with your lesbian side and let it go.
Explore it. We try to give out straight advice on this program.
It's straight advice, hard topics, and we address them head on.
Now, I want to know, are you frigid?
Heart and head, watch that.
Are you frigid? Do you have feelings down there? Are you still sexually aroused by either a man or a woman?
Roland, this is a joke, right?
Okay, right there. Start the clock right there.
That counts.
How much time, Jimmy? How much time? What's the time?
What?
225. That's right, nice. Trish. It is a joke.
That's right. It is a joke.
Now, if we had more time, now that we are honing and refining this.
Yeah, if we had more time, that necessarily would not have been a winner.
Right.
But since she said it's a joke, you actually won some money for your friend Roland.
Listen, believe it or not, we're not really doctors.
That's right. It might surprise you to know that. Yeah, not doctors at all. We have no credentials on
it. We are just stupid disc jockeys doing our show, and Roland has just won for you $100.
How do you feel about that, Roland?
I feel good.
Or actually, I'm sorry, you win nothing. Roland wins the $100.
Yeah, Roland wins. Precisely. Roland's the one that put his butt on the line here.
My mistake. Oh, and listen, for you, we have flowers. Wonderful flowers. When you want to deliver a truly unique birthday gift for that special someone, call 1-800-FLOWERS. Stop by their stores or visit them online.
And as we're talking here, I notice our previous contestant having a very animated discussion with her mom. Is everything all right with your mom now?
Everything's fine now, thanks.
That's good.
Yeah.
Now what has mom had to say?
She knew it was a...
Yeah, right.
Sure, she knew it was a joke.
No, she knew it was a joke. She just thought I was supposed to keep her on longer, so she kept going.
Sure.
That's what she said.
Yeah. Like you haven't brought thousands of guys home before.
Did you hear that?
It's really happening.
No. Okay. Yeah, well, she says thanks.
Tell your mom we're going to send her flowers also.
They're going to send you flowers.
Yes, sir.
Trish works under me. Trish, you need to get back to work, right?
She says give me money.
Trish has to go back to work.
All right, go back to work, Trish. Back to work, Trish.
And you get $100, Roland.
And Roland, thank you, my friend.
Thanks a lot.
You know, and I think we're going to have to do that again sometime. I like that Dr. Laura game.
All right.
Excuse me. I think Roland should share the money.
All right, well, that's between you and Roland.
That's between you and the lady.
In the privacy of your own room.
Okay, thank you. We've got to do a break. We're coming back with the toe-tapping touchstones and Buzz Burbank, Cuz Durnank with the news after this.
It's your announcer, Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara.
My greetings to both of you.
Radio gods. The Don and Mike Show is copyright 1996 Infinity Broadcasting.
You people never cease to amaze me.
All rights reserved. Produced by 106.7 WJFK, Washington Superstation, and distributed by Westwood One Entertainment.
As you all know, this show of ours is a sort of catch-as-catch-can affair with everything up for grabs.
Our kids don't even rehearse. They just audition and then go off.
Previously on the Don and Mike Show.
There it is!
Here you go.
I can't believe it. Nino Grisbinelli on the Don and Mike Show? No, your radio's not broken. Jumping Jiminy Cricket lacking me. I'm trying to relax, but I'm still a dude that daddy.
Now that's there you go.
Come on, let's hear it for him.
Yeah. Nice.
All right. Now I applaud that. Now listen, you have an open invitation to come on our show anytime you want.
Hey, we're Boss Jock buddies again.
Yes, we are.
The Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, you mean a lot to us. From when we were so very young to now. Don and Mike, we couldn't do without you. You've been with us through every passing year. There's so much to you. We love everything you do. You're all we ever need. And that's why we still believe in you. The Don and Mike Show.
Everything you do.
Yeah, you. The Don.
Those guys again, giving me a big old S.E.D. grin. Our leader, Don Geronimo, is back on the air with Michael Mira's vocal talents extraordinaire. You gotta love his show, it's like a good stiff belt. Check Don and Mike, man, there's something else.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Just a taste, my good man.
Was that one declined too?
Was your credit card turned down?
Jimmy says my credit card was just declined across the. Was that one declined?
They don't take Discover.
Oh, for God's sakes.
And you're the a Visa bum, was, Mike.
I'll take care of it.
You're a bum. Listen, hold on. We got to do the show here.
All right. I just was trying to buy some shirts before we went on the air.
Just a taste, my good man. Here now is a sublime beginning to the program. Here is Charles Broyhill, who's filling in back at home for Robert Spiewak. Charles, how many openings do you have for the show today?
I have four.
Four. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this man is a professional.
May I ask if Charles wrote these himself?
No, well, I did not.
These were written for him.
Okay.
Okay. Here we go. Number one, Charles.
Live from their Johnny Carson-styled set, this portion of the Don and Mike Show is brought to you by Badgigo. It's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Very good, Charles.
All right, try the second one.
They were the first show to break the thrilling story of Orson Bean and Kitty Carlisle Hart's marvelous trophies, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
He has a way with the English language.
Thank you.
He speaks good. Okay, number three, Charlie.
Live from the National Association of Broadcasters Convention, where thousands of radio people all get together and then try desperately to avoid each other, it's the Don and Mike Show.
All right, that's very nice. Now, here's the one that will catapult us off the springboard to another successful program.
Good.
They're always ready to bury the radio hatchet.
Bury?
Bury. And not in the grease man's skull. The Don and Mike Show.
Bury.
Oh, you suck. Thank you, Charles. Thank you, and hello, and welcome to the program. Coast to coast and nationwide via Westwood One Entertainment, darling. Don Geronimo with Mike O'Mara. That's why we call it the Don and Mike Show.
Pretty clever.
And there is our play friend, Buzz Burbank. And the phrase that pays today, just a taste, my good man.
Excellent, my boy. Excellente, my boy.
I can't wait to hear the story behind that.
Last, I can't tell the story.
Yeah, you won't be hearing the story behind that. It simply will be our catchphrase for the day. Will simply be, just a taste, my good man.
Now listen, where's the guy from Worcester?
Yeah, he was slinking around here somewhere.
I told him I'd give him some airtime here.
Uh-huh.
Where is the general manager from the station in Worcester that canceled our show and then wisely re-signed it? Now I think,
where is the remorseless heathen?
Well, I thought he's ready for the first break today.
Well,
I'm sorry. Probably my fault because I had Jimmy running into the NAB, National Association of Broadcasters store, where I just wanted to buy three golf shirts.
Oh, well, here they are now, Mike. Here, are your gifts now.
Finally found a credit card that would clear.
There you go. Yes. Well, it's day number two for us from this this living hell that is the National Association of Broadcasters Convention.
Yeah, the two toughest shows we do every year as we work ourselves to death up here in front of these folks that don't want to appear foolish, so they really don't get into the flow. They don't laugh for us.
I told you yesterday, and I repeat it today, I'm going to run the show. You people are not going to intimidate me today.
Good for you, Don.
We are going to do the regular show that we do, and I am not going to be bothered with your stares of indifference. God damn you, sir. Get out of here. You right there. You see, not the guy in the dark suit. No, behind them, Jimmy.
Which
behind
one?
That right
guy,
there.
Yeah, that's trouble. An indifference stare. Hi, how are you?
Listen, do you understand what I'm doing here? I'm a performer. I'm an artist. Okay?
And I love that about you.
When Leonardo da Vinci was painting, did he paint the Sistine Chapel?
Yes, he painted a Penn Station.
When he was painting whatever he was painting, there weren't guys who were standing there giving him the hairy eyeball.
Right.
So listen, either you're going to love what we're painting,
yes,
or you're going to move it along.
That'll be the rule of the day. Pretend you're enjoying it or move along.
I was pretending.
You were pretending?
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, see,
but now I'm really enjoying it.
Now you're really enjoying it because you're part of the show now.
Exactly.
This is your moment to shine.
This man, everything that's wrong with radio. What do you do in the radio business, sir?
I'm a programmer.
Yeah, of course he is.
Could have spotted that.
Boo. When did you decide that you didn't have the talent to cut it on air and when you decided to go into programming?
After hearing the greatness that is your show.
As many have. Many have actually made the move to become program directors in tears as they make that decision. I can no longer go on as a performer. I have to be a program director.
Listen, I wish I had more time to talk to you, but here is now the general manager of our station in Worcester, Massachusetts.
A guy who's given us fits this year.
How many of you know that today, anybody know what today, October 11th is? It's National Coming Out Day.
Anybody like to come out on our show now?
Well, the general manager from our station in Worcester has a little announcement he'd like to make on today's show.
Alan, we're waiting for you to come out, and since it is National Coming Out Day here in Los Angeles, this is your golden opportunity
right now.
You guys
misunderstood. I was coming out to see you. That was it.
Right. Now, listen, all I asked of this guy, he came up before the show, and I said, I want to have you on the show, and he was gun-shy.
Yes,
and,
good man.
I said...
I'm sorry. I can't help myself.
Never mind.
All right.
Never mind, Sonny boy. So I say to Alan, who's the manager of our station, Worcester, Mass., all you got to do is come on the air, admit what a horse's patoot you were, what a mistake you made. You canceled the show. The people spoke, and you brought it back.
That's absolutely true.
You were deluged with calls. Isn't that right?
Wow.
We were. We had calls. We had faxes. We had letters. We had personal visits.
Threats.
That's absolutely true.
We had calls. We had 3 days of nothing but people from Worcester calling us, that tiny little mecca of Worcester, and they were telling us each and every day how angry they were at you.
Now, and you know what? Guys like this, the programming guy over here, could learn something from your decision.
That's
now, what I read in the trade magazines is that you have our show, which is avant-garde, one of a kind, that you were trying to put in the middle of a mishmash with, like, oldies and stuff like that. Now what he's going to do, you see what he's going to do now? He's going to make the rest of the station more like us. He's going to assimilate the rest of his programming to what we're doing rather than vice versa.
Brilliant.
That's right.
Yeah, and that you're right, Buzz. That is a brilliant move by this man right here.
And I think that we had to beat it out of him, Don. I really think that's how he came to this decision. Wouldn't that be correct?
I was beaten severely. Absolutely.
Well,
not
here
only by you guys, but by listeners, too. So.
Here he is. Alan, what's your last? Olkin, is that Olkin. Your last?
Mm-hmm.
Alan Olkin, who's the general manager of WXXW-FM at Worcester, Mass.
And I think it's important to point out that Alan, the first two letters of Alan's last name spell okay.
Well, thanks for coming by. And thanks.
It's nice to see you guys.
Nice to have you back in the family. Okay, get it out of here.
All right,
now.
See you later. Enjoy
there he is.
Take care.
Coming out day.
Move along. Nothing to see here.
October 11th, the day that Big Al came out.
It was very nice of him to come out on our show, yeah. Wasn't it?
Just a taste, my good man. We've got some affiliate news. You know, we've actually cleared a couple of affiliates while we were here.
It makes it worth the trip out here to Los Angeles when we can do that. That's actually why we are here in front of all these broadcasters.
Now, we got the station in Southern California, for whatever reason, is still like the secret of all secrets. Geraldo Rivera should go into a tomb and find the station.
Right.
I can't announce that, but I can announce, since the president of the network told us, that we're going on in Dallas pretty soon.
Can't tell you the station, but he said Dallas is in our future. We're very excited about that.
So that's good. And then yesterday, when we got off the air, I had the pleasure of meeting with the gentleman who owns Infinity Broadcasting.
A very nice man.
Yeah, just a taste, my good man.
Just a taste, my good man.
I had just a taste of speaking with him, and he very politely gave me the big ixnay on my ESPN radio show.
Oh. I overheard a little of that, and I tell you, no one could have done it more gently. No one could have handled that more gently with you.
And you know, I know that a lot of you guys who work with me enjoyed seeing that because generally, and here's why.
I don't say that for a minute. I had to ride in the cab with you back to the hotel.
I'm a guy that dishes it out, and I hate to take it. I make no bones about it. I'm a huge pussy in that regard. I can dish it, but I hate taking it. That's one guy I got to take it from.
Yeah. That's the
everybody's got to take it.
We all have to. There has to be the Meng, and in that particular circumstance, that's He's the Meng.
So he comes up in that way that he has, that powerful, charismatic way that he has about him.
Right.
And looks me right in the eye and says,
tells me
how bad I suck and says, says, what, you don't like working for me? You want to work for somebody else? Well, forget it, fat boy. And that pretty much was how that discussion went.
And you took it well. I think you took it wonderfully. You took it beautifully. Yeah, and, yeah. I think it was you and Buzz and myself in the car on the way back. And Buzz and I didn't want to say anything to you because that's one of those moments where you say, listen, later on. What? What do you want?
Yeah, I didn't want to do anything. But I was able to relieve the tension by going out and getting a speeding ticket.
Oh,
yeah. Yes.
You went out yesterday afternoon and got a speeding ticket.
Welcome to Los Angeles.
Oh, my God.
Yes. I was blowing off some steam, driving my Caddy Eldorado.
Really?
And got pulled over by Ponger, whatever his guy, the chips guy.
You got a California Highway Patrol guy.
Yeah.
Were you on the 10?
I don't know.
I love the numbers
that all the streets have. That sounds so important. Except, you know what? I am the biggest dope. I wish that it said, like, 110 going to Hollywood, 110 going downtown, because you know I got stumped on that north-south thing, and I got off the freeway, and then I ended up by Dodger Stadium, and my God,
Chavez Ravine.
Am I amazed that people go to watch baseball games there?
Really?
What a hellhole that whole area is, that whole part of Los Angeles.
Well, aren't most ballparks, a lot of ballparks, are in rough areas?
No, but, you know, I've never taken a look at it, because you see it on TV, they always go, the beautiful, the majestic
Chavez Ravine.
Yeah, whatever. Chris Berman,
right? He loves saying that. Here we are at Chavez Ravine. He loves that almost as much as saying the big sombrero.
Well, you know, and I felt definitely like one of those out-of-town guys, because I had just gotten a speeding ticket, and I was trying to get my way back to the hotel, and what school do you go to?
Yeah,
I was going the wrong way on the freeway. I realized I was going like towards Sacramento or something, I guess.
Right.
So I got off, and then I'm realizing that I want to stop to ask somebody for directions, but I was too afraid to get out of the car.
Well, you know, you never know when you don't know where you are. Sometimes that's the best course of action is just to stay in your automobile, make sure you have plenty of gas, and then just put the pedal to the metal and start crying like a little baby.
It wasn't like my little safe suburban community back in Virginia where you've got the CVS drugstore and you've got the Exxon and you got the Shell station and you got the bakery and that's
the neighborhood where you go to your gas station and they've got a gate where a guard lets you through, right?
Yeah. But I do love watching the television out here.
The television out here is just...
I mean the news, not the regular TV. I mean the news where the news is not news.
It's attitude news.
The news is just all the crazy crap that's going on. It's like the real world does not exist in Los Angeles.
And to an individual, the anchors out here all have that tude. It's not like anywhere else in the United States. The local anchor people here in Los Angeles are all like... They're slicky boys. They're slicky girls.
I saw my two favorites. I saw my favorite anchor lady, Trisha Toyota.
There you go. She's been here for a long time.
What a great name, huh? Hello, this is Trisha Toyota with the news. And
she's been on the same station, right, for years and years and years.
I think she used to be on 7. Maybe what's she on now? Channel 4 now? I don't know. What am I at? Channel 2? She's on Channel 2. And the weather guy on Channel 7, Johnny Mountain. What a load of bull that is, huh?
Johnny Mountain with the weather forecast for you.
Here are the order of the stories. Now, Buzz, I will ask you first, since you're the news authority.
Okay, I'll try.
What, in your opinion, were the top three news stories of the day yesterday? And I'm talking about 5 o'clock, Nitwitness News, Eyewitness News, 5 o'clock.
Pretty big news day yesterday.
Yeah, I would say so. Well, the O.J. Simpson story was pretty big. That came later in the day. Out here in Los Angeles, the shooting out of rear windows on cars on the freeway, that was a big story.
Right.
I would say those are...
The debate was up there, right?
Two of the main... And the aftermath of the vice presidential debate.
Right. Here's the order of the stories. Last night, 5 o'clock, Eyewitness News. First story... Kid that catches the baseball at the Yankees game.
Big story.
Yeah. Little brat.
Which is old news, and the little son of a gun has been on every television program.
I haven't heard anyone use... I've heard everybody talk about him. I haven't heard anybody use the term brat. If it hasn't been used, I'd like to be the first.
Or punk.
Little brat. Yeah. Little brat. You know, he was. I saw him just...
I'll say it, that little bastard.
I saw him at the very end when they said, and now our little fan has developed a big league attitude. And they showed the kid sitting there going... Excuse me, can you get out of the way? I'd like to go to the Yankee game, please.
So that is the...
You little brat.
That is the lead story at 5 o'clock. The second story at 5 o'clock is the weather. Now, what is the story with the weather? Because the weather's always great out here, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the second story in the news. They go to Johnny Mountain. And what is the third story in the news? Mm-hmm. Tonight is the premiere of Murder One on Channel 7. And we're going to be talking with the new star of Murder One. And the whole time, the woman who's doing the news on Channel 7, she has like the Bride of Frankenstein haircut. She has the
streaks.
Perfectly manicured nails. She looks beautiful. She has jet black hair, but she has the one gray streak that goes all the way back.
Mm-hmm. And she looks, although I probably was seeing her for the first time, lighten you to the fact that you are back there. That is where that is the place that calls your name. West Hollywood says, "Come to me, my Donnie."
Well, I am no homo. You know that.
Well, I don't. You know, I'm not saying you are.
And I have nothing.
We never know what someone's sexuality really is.
And I have nothing against anybody who is gay.
Especially on National Coming Out Day,
right?
I just think that I've grown more. My perception has grown more because now, as I get into the neighborhood that I used to live in, it becomes highly apparent to me that it's a very gay neighborhood.
Did you get out of the car in that neighborhood?
No. No, because there were, like guys holding hands and guys making out and everything.
It's a very open gay community there.
And I remember when we moved here, like, I guess it was 16 years ago, maybe, Kiss FM, the station I worked at, is on Sunset Boulevard, so we wanted to live close to the radio station.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We went driving around off La Cienega Boulevard. We found this great apartment. We thought, oh, this is beautiful. Now, of course, all the lawns are well manicured, and mm-hmm. all the apartments were beautiful. Of course, a bunch of gay guys live there. Gay guys are neat. They are clean. They are straight. If you'll pardon the pun, what I mean is that all the books are neatly arranged and everything. You know that.
When did you, after you moved in, did you realize that you were in a gay community?
When we went to the pool.
And how long after you moved in did you take your first visit to the pool?
Like the third day we lived there, we went down there, and, you know, because at that point, I was I'd never even been to Los Angeles before. Uh-huh. I said to Frida, how come there are so many guys in the pool? How come there are no girls in the pool?
Right.
And then we met one of our next-door neighbors, and he announced that we were living in possibly the gayest area of all of Southern California, and that we were living in an apartment complex. I'll tell you where it is. It's at 115 North Kings Road.
And you stayed.
It's like gayland.
You stayed for a while, right?
I lived there for a whole year.
There you go.
I mean, I really didn't care that all the guys were gay. It was
good
just
for you.
I would tell somebody I was having a party or ask some people to come over. They say, where do you live? We say, West Hollywood. They go, wait, what are you living in West Hollywood for? But I went back again today, and I enjoy that that neighborhood. I enjoy the memories that have come.
Should have gotten out of the car. Maybe you could have gone to the pool again.
Well,
I mean, you know, it's a nice day. It's going to be in the 80s here again.
Yeah, and I got to drive around and experience that. You know, did all the tourist stuff. I drove up and down Sunset Boulevard and looked at all the billboards. The huge ego strokes that the stars get out here.
Mm-hmm.
All of the stars that have, at least in my opinion, mediocre programs,
right,
mediocre movies, mediocre books. It's obvious that they all have their ego stroked with the huge signs on Sunset Boulevard.
Show business town. Everybody's got the billboards. Everybody's got everything up there for the whole world to see. And I think it's just the greatest street names in the world. I mean, I love, you know, Santa Monica Boulevard, La Cienega, Wilshire Boulevard. Sunset. It's exciting.
You know, it's so phony out here. I know if I lived out here, after a while, it would become sickening to me. But again, I'm drawn into it.
You think it's phony out here?
Yeah,
I don't understand that. I think it's just super. It's just super. And there's some good people out here.
Yeah.
Just a bit.
Yeah, just good people. Even on the news, you see that phoniness.
Sure,
really,
sure.
The kind where they're, you know, you're supposed to. I was always told, because when I was going to school to actually be a journalist, they told me that you look into the camera and you try to convey sincerity.
Right.
You want people to trust you. That's the most important thing. Here, sure, the anchor people here seem to want to convey. They're just polished. And and if they're talking down to you, it doesn't matter. You know,
right.
It's like, okay, some great fun coming out right now. We're going to go out to the festival. Or we're going to go to the helicopter. I mean, everybody's got 20 helicopters out here.
Everybody's got the helicopter, for goodness sake.
And the one lady that has her back to the front of the helicopter and wearing a very tight silk number and was just sitting there and very little traffic, but a lot of attitude, just going, okay, is that the way you feel? Great. Totally unfazed. And me, being a phobic flyer, I was looking at saying, man, ain't you scared? You're up there in a helicopter and it's going real fast.
I'm surprised you can do that, lady. You're so slick and polished.
You are pretty, my good man.
Yes, you are.
Just a taste, my good man.
Just a taste.
I bought Variety magazine today. And
that's very LA. It's an LA thing to do.
And you know why I did? I bought it because, like an idiot, I'm trying to impress Jose or whoever the guy is behind the counter at 7-Eleven. Because I walked in. Now, I rented a Cadillac DeVille, a Coupe DeVille,
right,
which is like a super old man car. And I'm wearing
Variety.
And I'm wearing this outfit, which to me is Los Angeles.
You look like me today.
I'm dressed like, I normally kid Mike about how he dresses. I got on like the fruity jacket and a shirt with no collar on it. So I go into the 7-Eleven to get my Coca-Cola, and I think, wait, I want Pedro here to think that I'm in the business.
Sure.
So I bought Variety, and here's my question. What a ripoff that is. Why does anybody read Variety? It's got like 3 pages. It costs $1.50.
Lots of ads.
And the only thing I could pick up is that Rosie O'Donnell is going to have her show on now, like through the year 2000.
There you go. That's a big story for Variety.
And also the fact that, what's her name, from Grace Under Fire is in rehab.
Right, right.
Although she's not really in rehab because she's going to go to work every day.
No, right? she is going to do it on an outpatient basis because her back hurts. So now, between Kelsey Grammer and Grace Under Fire, you know, they're both having their treatment done now.
My hooters, Barbara, my hooters.
I can hide a can of catfish, a can of tuna fish under each breast.
So what is she hooked on? She's hooked on pain pills?
Yeah. Pain pills for her back. That's what they say. Pain pills for her back because she...
I think it's a career move. I think that it's a publicity move.
Just before she made this announcement that she was in outpatient rehab, the Betty Ford Clinic announced that Kelsey Grammer has gotten more get-well wishes than any celebrity who's ever stayed there.
Somebody called Grace Under Fire, and they said, listen, look at how popular Kelsey Grammer is since he got drunk and wrecked his car. Why don't you go into rehab now?
Well, I mean, painkillers can do a lot of damage. They really, I mean, all you have to do is watch Chevy Chase and the Three Amigos, and that'll tell you that.
Oh, you watch that on HBO, too?
God, man. Why do I watch it? Why am I sitting there? Why do I leave it on? Why don't I go right by it?
I don't want to get in this argument with you, but you know what? You know why you watch it? Two words. Steve Martin. He was funny in that movie.
I don't think any of them were funny in that movie, but there's something about, you know, I watched the scene where they come up to the singing bush.
Nice bush.
And I couldn't help myself. I just stayed on it, and I'm embarrassed to say that.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, God. I'm glad this is our last day here. You know, I couldn't stand this. I couldn't stand working in this environment every day.
Really?
This if we had to work in this environment every day.
I mean, with radio people hanging around.
It would I would go out of my mind.
Thank goodness we have a big lineup of guests today.
I think next time when we come to this convention, if we come back to this convention again and do our show, an open bar. Right in front. I mean, right in front. That'd with some nice. Really... What are those drinks that they have down in New Orleans, Louisiana? What do they call
hurricane,
it?
The hurricanes. Yeah.
What do you think? A free hurricane
a hurricane?
A hurricane.
A hurricane?
A hurricane. Just a taste. Just a taste of a hurricane, and everybody would be happy.
Just a taste, my good man.
Excellent.
Today, along with all of the irregular Friday junk we have on the program, including Stossel, the Love Muscle on movies, yep. And we'll be playing Low Budget Jeopardy, and today we'll pick the pros until they scab and bleed. Our guest pick today is Chris Mortensen from ESPN.
He's been on the show once before, right?
Not on this show, I don't think.
I thought all those analysts have been on at one time or another.
Chris Mortensen is the serious journalist of the whole bunch.
Right.
Okay? He's like the insider. Plus, today we're going to be joined by George Jefferson. Oh, I love George Jefferson.
Yeah. Sherman Helmsley.
You know that Wheezy? Wheezy?
Wheezy.
You know, my favorite episode of The Jeffersons was the one where they went to the psychologist,
mm-hmm.
and the psychologist told George to take out his aggression, and Wheezy should take out their aggression by hitting each other with those foam rubber mallets.
Nerf bats, weren't they? Nerf mallets or something like that?
And then they spent the whole show just beating the heck out of each other.
I bet he'll appreciate that when you get a chance to tell him that.
All of them, they were all there. It was George and Wheezy and...
Lionel?
No. Lionel was not in that episode. And, you know, they changed Lionel's. About halfway through that show, they changed Lionel's.
And the maid played by Marla Maples?
Marla Gibbs, Mike.
Marla Gibbs, yes, Marla Gibbs.
Marla Gibbs.
Yeah, we met her at RFK Stadium one time.
Just a taste.
Just
a taste.
Wonderful lady.
So George Jefferson, Sherman Hemsley today. Also, Giselle Fernandez, who I've discussed her at length when she was a regular old news babe.
Right. I have to take credit way, way, way back when we talked on this show about her, and I saw her doing a little news feed one time. I think it was when the hurricane was down in...
The hurricane? Right.
The hurricane.
The hurricane.
The hurricane in Miami. And now she's got her own syndicate. Hard copy type show. She'd hate it if I said hard copy, but that's what it is.
It's like some Entertainment Tonight thing.
Right.
I think. Yes. So she's supposed to come by with whoever the puppet is that she's working with, and also, what's the guy's name? Some other guy who does a show like that. What's his name? Who's the other guy?
The show business guy?
Yeah, some gossip show.
Ruben, right?
They have a gossip show.
Don't we prepare on this program? We know who all our guests are going to be.
Sam Ruben and Dorothy Lucy.
Sam the Milkman Ruben will be our special guest today to talk about showbiz.
So he's supposed to come by. And listen, Uncle Milty is here, and they said that if Uncle Milty is not really pissed off at the world, that today we will be graced with an appearance by Milton Berle like we were yesterday by Rodney Dangerfield.
Wonderful. We'll look forward to that.
Who is also very mad at the world. Plus, we have all kinds of other stuff. We have celebrity phone numbers today. And we're going to be calling some of our celebrity friends in Los Angeles.
Good.
To see if anybody wants to spend some time with us today. Listen to this exciting list of celebrities that we can call.
All right.
We have Max Bayer.
Ah.
That's Jethro Clampett.
Right. Hello, Granny. Yes, sirree. Okay, just a taste, my good man.
Shirley MacLaine, who we call all the time.
Oh,
and
she loves you.
And, is never at home, but we always get her answering machine.
It's nice even to talk to Shirley's answering machine.
Hey, try hers right now. Let's call right now and tell Shirley MacLaine that we are going to be in town this evening, that our plane does not leave until something like 3 o'clock in the morning, because we're all taking that late flight to get back for the wedding of Robert Gelman tomorrow.
Right. Your plane leaves at 3 o'clock in the morning. Ours, I think, leaves at 9:30 Pacific, which is like about 1 o'clock in the morning.
Same thing. My flight.
If you get caught up with Shirley, though, I just want you to make that plane. Be on time for Rob's wedding.
Hello.
Hello, Shirley.
Yes.
Shirley, hi, this is Don and Mike. We're the disc jockeys that call and leave you messages on your machine all the time.
We're here in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
We're here in Los Angeles doing our show live at the National Association of Broadcasters Convention.
How thrilling.
And, you know, we always call your machine and get your answer, and we never get to talk to you. And now, you see everybody. Oh, can I just stop for a second? Hey, everybody. Hello. Turn that up, Dan. We have Shirley MacLaine on the phone with us.
Yeah. A major star on the phone right now.
I'm sitting on the phone.
She's sitting. That's right. The real Magilla, Shirley MacLaine.
Shirley, how are you?
I love you.
Listen,
I'm a little less now.
All right. I won't bother you. Thank you for picking up your phone, Shirley.
Thank you for calling.
All right.
Bye.
Goodbye. See?
And there, you heard it. An exclusive interview with Shirley MacLaine on the Don and Mike show.
You like that? That's very nice. Thank you.
Does that deserve a round of applause?
Thank you. She tolerates us. She is not like Linda Blair, who changes her telephone number every time that we call her.
Yeah, now you might say, Don and Mike, you had Shirley MacLaine on the phone. Why didn't you go 5-10 minutes? Because if we did, she changes the number. If we let her go in peace, go in peace.
We just call and say, hey, baby.
That's it.
All right, now listen, hold on. We're not done yet. Well, we got a break for commercials, but we're also going to call Noel Neal, who was Lois Lane on the Superman show with the Superman guy who killed himself.
All right.
Let me see. We also have Dennis the Menace, Jay North, the Smothers Brothers. We have their home telephone numbers.
Tom and Dick.
That's right.
All right.
Wesley Snipes. Now, there's a guy. We've never spoken to Wesley Snipes. Right. However, we spoke, was it to his maid?
Yeah, yes. Or his assistant. We're not sure. And this could be a lucky day. We already had lucky, you know, a lucky situation with Shirley MacLaine.
Just a taste, my good man. That was just a taste of some of the good things on the show today.
Just a saison.
Also, Dionne Warwick, who we've had on many times before.
I see. Yes, we are going to get her on the phone.
And, of course, no trip to California would be complete without us calling the greatest showbiz family of all time, the Van Pattens.
Yes.
The flying Van Pattens.
Yes. Dick and your favorite Nels.
Nels. I love Nels. And your favorite Van Patten?
I am a Vince man. I've always been a Vincent man.
And Buzz?
Joyce.
Well, there you go. That's why the show works, such diversity. But we can all agree we love our Van Pattens.
Oh, the Van Pattens are the greatest show business family in the world.
Well, now listen, that is an exciting way to start a radio program. Man. Here we are operating under this fishbowl-like condition with all of these people looking at us with various stages of indifference.
Feel like I'm in a hospital lobby.
Yet we managed to call the great Shirley MacLaine, and she did not hang up on us.
And she was simply charming.
Yeah, she was very nice. I like her very much. So let's break, and then we'll bring by... The first people who have the guys with the television show, is that it, Jimmy? The Sam and somebody show?
Sam right. Rubin, Sam the Milkman Rubin.
And happy coming out day, everybody.
Is there anybody, and we'll ask once again before we go to break, anybody in the audience right here right now that would like to come out? This is National Coming Out Day. Is there anyone? Show of hands, anyone?
How about you ladies over here?
Either
about you ladies?
Nothing. We'll pass.
You're going to pass today?
Yeah. You're straight?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right. All right.
Well, we're just looking for a little added excitement for the show today.
You'd be good lesbians.
Big Gum Jim?
We're real flattered. We're not gay, but we live in Tampa anyway. That's what we like to see.
Yeah, that's why sometimes I think we should prepare the show a little better. We actually could have seen these women before the show and had them fake it.
Hey, wait a minute. Yeah. Hold on a second.
Story.
Is my watch correct?
Yes.
Is it like 12:35 already?
Yes, it is, Don. 12:35 Pacific time.
All right, commercial break here, and then we'll be right back from the NAB in Los Angeles after this.
Radio Gods.
I give up kids for the British show and tear.
Don and Mike.
Hey, I'm 35 years old. I've got 3 kids. I can hide a can of cat food under each breast. If Pops thinks I look like a girl, it makes me happy.
Oh, you know the old Don and Mike. It's the cotton-picking Don and Mike show.
And I wish we were on in Los Angeles so that people like this would not think that we are just the schmucks that just rolled off the tomato truck.
I was overhearing Jim going through with our next guests where we're on, where we come from, and that kind of explanation is, it gets frustrating sometimes. I wish it was just everywhere. It would be so much simpler if we were on everywhere, and that's why we're here at the National Association of Broadcasters.
The closest to Los Angeles would be Bakersfield for us. Sadly, that's the closest our show reaches.
Well, we might as well use San Diego or Sacramento. Yeah. Or, you know.
Well, either way, we're here at the NAB convention, which always gives us the super deluxe oogies, and we're joined now by Sam and Dorothy, who have a television show.
Dorothy, Lucy, and Sam Rubin.
And it is a gossip show that you kids do?
No, it's a... I like being called kids. You know, the women that you, in the last break, that you thought were the lesbians from Florida?
Yes.
The two very good-looking women?
Right.
They came up to me, and they said they watch the show every night in bed.
Those two girls? You know, they work for Hooters.
Together?
I had my picture taken with them. They worked for Hooters.
Oh, they really work for Hooters?
Yeah.
They do a radio show for Hooters.
A radio show. See, they're elevated Hooters girls.
Yes. Who would care about a radio show for Hooters? I mean, come on.
Well, you haven't heard our audience. Our listening audience, they can fantasize. They know what fantasy
is
all about.
Your crack technical staff is busily adjusted. There's a technical thing.
Well, what's going on over there,
I think it might
guys?
Be with Dorothy's microphone.
A little weak.
They're fixing the mics.
Are you two boyfriend and girlfriend?
Well, we would be except for our husbands and wives.
Well, I would not enjoy that.
Now, is the show really called Scoop with Sam and Dorothy?
What?
Is that the name of the show, Scoop?
It is Scoop with Sam and Dorothy, yes.
Scoop. So it is the Scoop,
it's
gossip, about
the Scoop.
Right?
It's the latest in Hollywood, and then all the stars that you're having on today or have called. So we do the same thing. They called Shirley MacLaine at home.
Right.
And Shirley actually spoke to them.
That was a beautiful interview. I'm glad you heard
gracious.
That, Sam.
but it didn't last long. But then we had Tom Hanks on this week. Any of your favorite celebs?
How do you get Tom Hanks? I'll tell you, this drives me crazy. Can I tell you something? I'm in the car today, and I'm listening to that idiot Rick Dees.
Brigden.
And I hear who's on Rick Dees' show. I know Rick Dees, okay? So don't make a face. Are you fans of Rick Dees?
He's been nice to us.
We call him idiot. We only mean it in the best possible sense.
Sure. Yeah.
Just because he's a guy who plays records on his show and, like, says, it's 8 after 7, you got to be to work at 8 o'clock, you get 52 minutes to get there. But he's got Tom Hanks on his show today. Uh-huh. Now I'm thinking either Rick Dees is simply the most powerful man in Los Angeles, or Tom Hanks is very worried about this new movie and wants to make sure that everybody goes to see it.
You know, the way you've been talking about Tom Hanks lately, I think that he is next on your list. I think that he is your next pursuit. Yeah. I think you're going to be the Tom Hanks stalker.
I'm falling in love with him.
Stalking.
So you guys had Tom Hanks on your show?
It's a two-part thing on how you get Tom Hanks. A, he desperately wants to sell this movie, and B, we just begged him,
relentlessly.
Pause up, ears perked.
And the publicist. And then the fact of the matter is, Dorothy, it's fun because we're not as familiar with you guys as we should be.
Although
Dorothy, originally from the Washington area.
Uh-huh. Where are you from in the Washington area, Dorothy?
I actually lived in McLean, Virginia for a long time.
McLean.
You had some money, huh?
Big bucks, huh?
Actually, the folks had the money back then.
Little family money, Dorothy?
Living with them.
Yeah, little family money?
How long did you leave Washington?
In high school.
Oh, in high school?
Wow.
So actually not that long ago.
Okay, so we've established the fact that Dorothy was a rich kid growing up in Washington.
And Sam, how did you hook up with her for your television program?
I grew up here, and I needed somebody to finance the show, and knowing that of her enormous wealth. No, but the thing is, and admittedly, you guys don't know us from Adam, but we are actually enormously popular entertainment reporters here in Los Angeles for local TV stations. I work on one station. Dorothy works on another. And you'll see the crowd start to gather and build.
All right, now what station do you work for?
I work for Channel 5, KTLA.
What do you work for?
I work for Fox. And actually, Sam got me the same way we both got Tom Hanks. There was a lot of begging involved.
So now that I see that you guys are on not only doing this show, but you still do
jobs.
The news?
Right. Yeah.
See, these guys really are what we were talking about with television news out here. We are fascinated by the television news because it's not so much news as it is like, look at them now. Look, except for the white socks that you're wearing.
Yes, I know.
Can you say that Sam is wearing the white socks?
Yes, Sam has on the white socks.
I think it would be a neat idea.
You guys have a cool...
Just know, for your friends listening, TV crews are now gathering because,
it's Sam's popularity.
Locally, the enormity of our popularity cannot be explained.
All right, chill, Sam. I think you guys ought to.
I say that to him every day.
Do you? Does he have a hard time chilling?
He has a hard time chilling, but you hit him with the microphone, it works.
What is the area code in Los Angeles? What is it? It's
310 and 213.
Okay, then listen, back at the station. I want you to hit 310 and dial any single number at all off the top of your head. We'll call somebody and see if they know who you are. Okay?
Fine.
At random, we'll just call. Can you handle that back at the station, Charlie?
Sam, you're into that, aren't you? I'm looking at you, and you kind of dig it, right?
I like
it. I mean,
this.
There's a part of you that digs that challenge.
We like hostility.
I just want to gauge your popularity.
Okay.
Are you feeling hostility on this program?
No, right? Warmth and love. No, really.
All right.
We're grateful that traffic is, and you notice that the people who are attempting to sort of rip us off, like Giselle from Access Hollywood, are coming on your show later.
Yeah. Hold on. Hello?
Hello?
Hello, ma'am. Yes, my name is Don. This is my friend Mike. We're doing a radio show now.
Hello.
Do you live in Los Angeles?
Yes.
Have you ever heard of a guy named Sam Rubin?
No.
All right.
Okay. Thank you very much, ma'am.
All right, point well taken.
He's enormously popular. Where have you been?
That's what we hear.
Keep having your engineer make those calls. It's like radio. On the 20th caller,
eventually we will find someone.
Now, we have a little controversy here. You said Giselle Fernandez, that show, they're ripping you guys off. Is that what you're saying?
Well, not exactly. No, but they... we're jealous of them, frankly, to a large degree. Because
Now the truth comes out. They have something called a budget.
They have a really big budget and all this big promotional push behind them.
Right.
Giselle will arrive here today in a limo. Dorothy and I came in a rickshaw. It's sort of the distinction.
So your show is in competition
with... Not really. Ours is a daytime talk show.
Oh, it's a daytime show. Yeah. So then I bet you get compared to Regis and Kathy Lee a lot, right?
Would you rather hang with Kathy Lee or Dorothy Lucy?
Oh, well, listen.
Would Kathy Lee wear boots like this? Come on.
I think Dorothy dusts Kathy Lee, frankly.
Yeah. You don't even want me to get into the whole topic of Kathy Lee
Gifford. We've done 4-hour shows on Kathy Lee Gifford. We have.
We had a great one the other day about the article that that Frank Gifford's sister wrote in the Globe saying how they never hear from Frank and Kathy Lee since they got married.
Yeah, and she's been neglected, and Frank got Mom to change the will so that Frank's sister wouldn't get any money. Now, your show's Scoop.
Right.
Did you have that scoop on your show?
Well, you know what? Sam and I just want to get that big so that we can ignore our families. Most of the scoops we do are a little nicer than some of the tabloid
because
scoops.
Because the fact of the matter is, and people tell us this, that across the country, and you know that Washington, your home city, may have particular tastes, and then there are nationwide tastes. You know, without sounding Pollyanna, generally, it's sort of, people are kind of interested in more sort of upbeat, you know. Do you know the new car that Phil Hartman from News Radio, show that is indebted to you guys, apparently bought himself a new Ferrari that he polishes every other day?
It's a drawn-on Ferrari, Dave.
So that would be the type of story that you go with it. Phil Hartman does that every day.
What would be your biggest, the show is called Scoop, so what would be your biggest scoop since you guys have been working together?
Oh, we had an enormous scoop 2 weeks ago. We broke that big story about Sharon Stone getting the 10-carat diamond ring from her friend.
You know, just judging from the body language and the way you two interact, I think that the big scoop is that Dorothy can't wait to get rid of Sam and get her own show. That is the feeling I'm getting here.
Wait, I can't wait to get rid of him, or I can't wait to...
You want to dump him. You're going to use him, and then you want to dump him and get your own show.
Her footprints are all over my back, I tell you.
All right, what markets are your shows in all the markets all across America?
It's 80% of the country.
80% of the country. It's in a morning show?
Morning show, yeah.
And we'll watch for your program. You know what I love? I love hustling people off now.
Well, they're very nice, too. It's been very nice
but
having them
real,
on the show.
Listen,
you like to do that because you got the desk and it's the power.
Oh, you know what, though?
No offense.
We are more entertaining than your next guest, I guarantee
you. No, because our next guest is us. We're going to fill the next great talk.
As I said.
But you know what? It is flattering to realize they would rather spend time
talking
alone
to each other.
Yeah. Talking to us.
So listen, no offense. You seem like very nice people, and best of luck with your show.
Get out.
I never get to say to anybody, that's all the time we have. You're going to have to leave now.
But good luck with your show, Sam and Dorothy. And Scoop is the name of the show. It's on in the morning. It's all over the country. And we thank you for coming by.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. And bye-bye to you. But now, we do all this on the air.
You really have to set the microphones down and leave. If you were back in Washington, D.C. and you were in the studio, we would be hustling you out the door right now. Because it's the way we do
things. We talk about you then when you leave.
Get to the rickshaw.
Okay, bye-bye.
There you go. Bye, guys.
Bye. Nice seeing you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye-bye. Just a taste, my good man.
Just a taste.
And there they go.
Bye-bye. There they go. All and Jim, right. Jim, Big Gum Jim, nervously walking with them right now. So how do you think it went? They were all right. They were fine. I mean, that's okay.
I like her. Jesus, he should sell cars or something. Right. What a pushy guy, huh?
Well, he's got to get the scoop.
Turn it down. Turn the speakers down, Dan. I don't want them to hear what we're saying about them.
We have to talk about people.
All right, a quick break. I apologize for these lengthy commercials. We will be right back.
MIWJFK. And everybody tell, oh, schools are out of control. Oh, they're out of control. We need prayer in the schools. We don't need prayer in schools. We need to toss Salad Man in school. That'll straighten the kids out. Hey, Jimmy, you got a D. You know what you got to do? No! No! I don't want to toss the salad. I want to toss the salad. I'm a reed. I'm a learned reed.
If you like cheese, then you'll love this episode of the Don and Mike Show.
Yes, and happy coming out every day, everybody.
Yes, we have an open invitation here at the National Association of Broadcasters Convention for anybody walking by to simply come up on stage and come out for us. We'd love to have that.
And toss them a salad. I told you, I heard a great bit this morning with Robert W. Morgan.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It sounds funny.
Now, he's one of these guys that he's got to be like 60 years old. I mean, I listened to Robert W. Morgan when I was a little kid. I listened to tapes of him. So he's on this oldie station that I love that played jingles all the time and all this bad music. He plays the song by Diana Ross called I'm Coming Out.
Yeah, for Coming Out Day.
And he sets this up like a straight bit, right? He goes, today's National Coming Out Day, and we're going to play a song for all those people that play. And she starts going, I'm coming out. And then it has a musical bridge. and he plays tapes of celebrities like he goes, hello, this is Newt Gingrich. And then the next one was, hello, I'm Tom Brokaw. And every third or fourth one he played was Rick Dees.
And you told me he kept recycling the Rick Dees so you could hear it again and again.
Yeah, yeah. So it would be like Hillary Clinton, and then it would be like Michael. It'd go, hi, this is Michael Jordan. Hello, this is Jack Nicholson. Hi, this is Rick Dees of the morning. Anyway, crack me up. That is the closest I heard anybody in L.A. radio mentioning the fact that today is National Coming Out Day.
And it's refreshing to know that a guy that's been at it that long is still doing shtick like that. I think that's great.
Well, you know why? Because he doesn't care.
Right, yeah.
That's what I love. That's the attitude that I hope to get. I don't care now, but I do care. You know what I mean?
You do care enough where if you didn't care, things would be different.
Right.
I understand. Does anybody understand what I just said?
I think so.
But he really doesn't care.
He doesn't care at all because he's been doing it so long. And I'm sure that I'm sure somebody walked into him today and said, hey, don't you think you ought to tone that down a bit? Get out of here.
He probably said, F you. All those guys. I love him. I love him. I love Charlie Tuna. Charlie Tuna, Tuna of the Sea. Charlie Van Dyke was another guy with one of those big deep voices on Los Angeles radio.
And they've been doing it for a long, long time.
Yes. Now, and I, of course, because we're at the radio convention, I have some questions for some radio people in the crowd who are watching us right now.
Oh, look at these people run away. My God, don't turn heel and run away. Stay,
hey,
please.
Hey, before we interview the crowd, Jimmy, what did those two, Sam and Dorothy, have to say about us as you were escorting them out of the arena?
I was walking them out, and they were very, very, like, frazzled, like, they're really asking us to leave. their producer's following us. He just pushed me in the back. I put my hand on his back to say thank you. They're pushing us out of here. I've never seen a show like that.
They weren't accustomed to being hustled off the stage before the commercial break.
I think they were looking for a handshake and perhaps a little picture.
Way too polite.
Bathrobes.
Well, don't you think we gave them about as much time as they deserved? I mean, I had never heard of them, and I know they got a TV show, but...
I think we gave them a very good segment. I also think we gave them a very polite segment. Yeah. I thought we were very friendly. And then they were asked to leave.
Yeah.
And who else said that, Jimmy?
And yesterday, Rodney Dangerfield was a bit upset that we dispensed of him so quickly.
Well, everybody told us he had to go quickly.
Everybody said Rodney Dangerfield didn't even want to come on the show, that it was a big effort to get him to come sit on the couch to say hi.
And apparently Rodney was the only one that didn't know that. And he said thank you, and he was walking away, and he's like, oh. What happened?
I mean, would you agree with me? Rodney is one guy that could have been here for 4 hours. Yeah. We wouldn't have minded.
Yeah, here's the choice. We had Rodney Dangerfield and the Grease Man. I mean, quite obviously, we would have talked to Rodney Dangerfield longer.
Yeah, for hours if he wanted to stay. We did not know that.
I did not know that my wife, Joel D. Vegigo.
Vegigo. Oh, man.
Vegigo.
Yeah, strawberries and lemons. Walk by a fruit stand, you get horny.
Jesus Christ. Oh, so embarrassing.
Coming out day.
I'm so
I'd like to say I'm coming out of the closet today, and Ed...
You are right, great one!
Ed, I would like you to toss my salad. Is there any way you could toss my
salad? With syrup, oh, great one!
With syrup. Thanks so much, Ed. Hi-o!
Most all gays do that, great one.
Yes, they do, Ed, and you will do it for me right now. Yes, you will, syrup breath.
Okay, now there are radio people who are staring at us, and I want to know... Jimmy, first off, yes, that guy right next to you there. He's running away.
Man, what has happened to John Denver? Look at that.
He doesn't want to speak. Who's the lady over here? Hey, Jimmy, who's the lady? Who's that?
Hi, lady.
Hello.
Hi. Why have, are you a prospective client? Come on.
It's radio. We need to fill those dead spots.
Actually, I'm from Fort Wayne, Indiana, and I wanted to watch your show because I remember about the big fight that you...
The big fight that
you guys had with
our station,
the guys, our competitors over at QHK,
right.
Hot Talk.
What was the name? Didn't he have a weird name? Didn't he have a name that was appropriate for who the kind of guy he was?
Really, his name was Dick or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, wasn't it Dick?
Was it Tony?
I don't know. So you are, what are you, just observing us? Is this, what, you've been here for an hour?
Gary No.
Oh, that was his name.
Gary No, like no talent.
Mr. No.
Right. So why are you... intently watching us.
It's just a curiosity.
Are you enjoying the show so far?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
But is there a chance that your station would pick up our show?
Perhaps.
Well, what would the chances?
We carry a lot of product from Westwood One.
I don't care about Westwood One. I care about our show. What would the chances be that you would be in some position to pick up our show? Because if not, you're in a prime location. I'd like to give that to someone who maybe is is a real prospective client.
So are we betting 500, 1,000? I mean,
maybe 500.
500. All right. Well, then you better move it along.
Okay. Move it along. Nothing to see here. No, it's a good show. You ought to. And then the Westwood people all go, no, don't do that. My God, don't do that.
No.
You know, and you know.
She's the most prospective client we have here.
No, she's not, Chris Ann. You ought to do your homework. We've been talking to the president of the network.
Yes, oh, no. I know about that one, too.
Oh, okay. All right, good.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, and as a matter of fact, I am sickened by the phony baloney behavior of all of these affiliates and all of the network people. Last night we were in the Westwood One, as they call it. The Westwood One suite?
Yes, the suite where all the serious schmoozing is done.
Now, I can't find fault with the people who run the radio stations because they're here for the free ride. They're
absolutely
here for the free drinks and for the free food. What I hate is being the pawn in the middle of the exercise. Mm-hmm. When the guy from the network brings over the guy from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Yeah.
Now, the guy from Grand Rapids, Michigan, he is not going to pick our show up if we put a gun in his mouth. Mm-hmm. Didn't you get that feeling last night?
Sure, I did.
There was no way that the guy's ever going to pick up the show.
Yep.
But they bring him over, and still, we got to talk to the guy.
It's the exercise. It's what we call the useless exercise, but we do it. We're troopers. Were we not there? Were we not punctual? We were there. We were there, Chris Ann, when we said we were going to be there, and we were good company men.
We get the boozy breath of this guy from Grand Rapids who's telling us, you know, all the problems that he's having with his radio station. And the whole time, I'm looking at Mike, and I'm giving you Mike a look that says, you know, there's no way in hell this guy's ever picking up our show.
He did like it when he was talking about another show that he had, and he had dead time. I got dead time in between the two shows. What am I going to run if I take that show and take your show? What should I put on? And I told him he should just get a tape cartridge, put it in the machine, and have a continuous loop of gunfire just playing between that show and our show.
All right, so Mike says that, and that's a joke, and the guy looks at him like Mike is serious, like he's going to take out a notepad and write down gunfire between 2 and 3 o'clock.
Gunfire. That's a marvelous idea. I'm going to give that some thought. Hey, do we make the sound effects ourselves, or can we buy something with gunfire on?
So listen, I guess what I'm trying to say is now we've been here for 48 hours. We've been up to our eyeballs in this... in this hypocrisy that is the NAB.
We're taking the red eye back tonight so we can go to our producer's wedding.
So I don't want to talk to anybody else now who's not a serious client. Anybody else that is just engaging in some of this. If you want to get the free handout or if you want a free bottle of water or something, get your water and just move on. I only want to talk to real prospective clients today.
All right. And by a show of hands, how many of you are real prospective clients? Okay.
Then
all right, great. We're doing real well with that.
Then we're going to have to clear the air. Jimmy, would you please take that nice woman's chair?
All right, Jimmy, that's good. Take the chair. And I want you to get Dan Ryson to go down to the local firehouse, get the water cannon. If we have water cannon up here, we will be able to clear the place whenever we want to.
I love the reaction from the people in the crowd. They are really taking the woman's chair. That's right, lady. That chair is for clients.
That's right. Anybody that is not a prospective client, no sitting, only standing allowed. Nothing to see
now,
here.
Now, I will let this guy sit. You know why? Because I've already pegged this guy. Uh-huh. This guy's just a fan of our show.
You're right? A fan, right?
Drove down from Bakersfield today.
Of course he is.
Look at that. You know, and one guy like that, one guy sitting here reacting to our show
enjoying.
Like that makes it all worthwhile.
Listen, come up over here on the couch by Buzz.
Sit down. Relax.
Come have a seat.
Enjoy yourself.
Now, it's obvious to me. Many of you here are wondering, Don and Mike, what does your average listener look like?
Mm-hmm.
What is the makeup of your average listener?
Could you just come out to the center of the stage and just do a little spin, a little model spin?
I would say that this is it. This is our average listener.
Yeah, right there. Yeah, he's getting a polite round of applause.
Now let's get some demographical information about this guy.
Sit down. Make yourself comfortable.
He drove here from Bakersfield. How long of a drive did it take you to get here today?
About an hour and a half.
Hour and a half. So he's a dedicated fan. See right that?
Excellent.
That's what we got. We got listeners who care about the show. What do you do for a living?
Are you unemployed? That's many of our listeners are.
I'm just a lowly DWJAY.
Wait
a minute.
What?
I was here 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I got to sit next to Buzz while he did a newscast on the last day you guys were here.
And here we are thinking it's a brand new guy and
it's a disc jockey off the stage. I take back everything that I said before.
Stage. You have
and
to
take
stand.
His chair too.
Jimmy, get the chair.
Man, you came here before. We thought it was somebody. I feel like I'm going to throw up.
Listen, the only disc jockey that I ever want to be friends with is the Grease Man. Okay, that's it. He's the only one.
Your new best buddy. And how was your dinner with the Grease Man last night?
Oh, well. Just a taste, my good man. That's all I can say, Mike. Just a taste, my good man.
Oh, wow.
All right. Now, who else out there is a client? We got to do. We have to clear this crowd because we have some of our grade-A material coming up in the next break, and we don't want to waste it on people who may not be real clients.
This
for
is
us.
Like a blue light special right now. Prospective clients of the Don and Mike Show affiliates that are thinking about picking us up, this is your moment to shine.
All right, let's clear this room. What about the guy next to you, Jimmy? What's your story, sir?
I don't know who you guys are. I'm from the L.A. market. And
well, what station in L.A.?
I'm not. I'm from a cable company.
Oh, a cable company.
All right, you're going to have to move along. I'm sorry. You're in a prime spot. How about the guy with the guy with the suit right here?
Right? Yeah, right here, talking to Chris Ann. Are you a prospective client, sir?
No, I work for Westwood One.
Well,
with Chris
then what are you doing here? Go work.
What are you carrying a shopping bag for God's sake? Try to look
He's
a little more corporate.
He's helping me sell your show.
Oh, yeah, it looks like it.
Yeah,
it
you're,
looks
really,
like you're really doing.
You're working your ass off, Chris Ann. All right, now how about the girl in the blue dress? The lady in the blue dress.
Also
Hi.
Westwood One.
Westwood One.
Oh, man.
How come we only got 38 stations? We got 38 people trying to sell the show.
We got, she's Westwood One, she's Westwood One. They're all
right.
Hanging out.
All here. Of you who work for Westwood One, put your hands up, okay?
Wow.
All right.
It's most of them.
Okay, all of you leave. Come on.
You don't work for Westwood One, buddy. You in the back, you work for Arbitron. I know you. I know you. He just raised his hand. Nice tie.
Okay, come on. Let's disperse here. Come on. Okay, come on. Please, really.
Work
on.
The room. Bring people. Come on. Bring them to us.
Come on. You guys can listen to the show in your office any day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, come on. Please, please disperse.
Work the room. Work the room. Work the room.
I am not kidding.
He's going to have a tantrum, Westwood One people.
This is now the second day of this.
He's beginning to pound the desk. He's going to have a no-holds bar. There will be a meltdown tantrum right here. You know, you might want to stand on that desk. There you go. All right. Go ahead, Dodd. Be careful. Be careful. Does the microphone go up that far? All right. Oh, my God. He's lost his microphone. Give him the wireless. Quickly, turn on the wireless.
It's
there
right.
We are.
All right. Hell, I got it. It's okay, Mike.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, clear this area, please. This is an emergency.
You know,
go
you
back
can
to
sell
your homes.
The show. You can sell the show right now.
What are you Westwood One people doing looking at me? You, leave. Chris Ann, leave. Lady in the blue dress, leave. Lady sipping her water, leave.
But you want them to do something. You want them to
yes.
Go get people.
Now, look, at there are other guys here. Come here. I'll show you how to do this. Come
what?
All right. Come with me. Come
All
on.
Right.
Come with me.
All right.
I'll show you how to do this. Very simple.
All right. Here we go. Here we go. Are we on? Are we on?
Stand around
All
watching right. Us dying up there. You go to a guy like this, you look at his name. What is it? Oh, he works for
Infinity Broadcasting. All right.
All right. Yeah.
CompuServe. No, we can't talk to him. Right, let me see the name tag. All right.
Marketing. No, he's not a radio guy.
All right.
Yeah, he's a radio guy.
Right. Do you work for a radio station?
I have been. I owned one in Denver.
You owned? Is that owned past tense?
Owned as in past tense.
Past tense. Right. See you later. Nice chatting with you.
You are worthless to me. Do you guys work for radio stations?
No.
No,
no,
no.
Yes.
Competing
yes.
Network? Are you at Talk America Network? Competing network?
No, I'm not.
Can you hire us? Like, can you put us on a radio station?
Can I? No, I can't.
All right, see you later.
Then you're going to have to vacate this area, please. Right,
you're
how
the
we
Arbitron
do it.
Guy.
These
Arbitron,
guys, these
Arbitron.
Guys all work for the radio
They're all
company.
Arbitron, but I'd like to say, nice to see you guys. All right.
Now, see, this is how you work a room. Are you watching Westwood people? As soon as somebody comes up, we grab them. Now, I don't see anybody looking at name tags. Hi, how you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
I see your name tag. This is Mike. This is Larry Podmore, and he's from Venezuela in the
wow.
Philippines. Now, our program should be on in Venezuela.
It's Valenzuela, like Fernando Valenzuela, and we think we can really do marvelous things in the Philippines. Wouldn't you agree?
We are doing marvelous things in the Philippines.
And where are you from originally?
Australia.
Australia?
Australia.
Good day, mate.
I know. Have you ever heard of the Don and Mike Show?
The who?
The Don and Mike Show?
No, I haven't.
All right, do you see the banner there with the two handsome gentlemen?
See those lovely cartoons?
I see the banner.
All right, now, we are those guys.
When you get to a certain ugly point, they decide to go sans photograph and go with a cartoon. That's where we're at.
Then. Now, would you like some information about picking our show up for the Philippines?
No.
No.
All right, then get the hell out
all
of
right,
here.
See you later. That's it. Hey, we can take the rejection.
Done
we can handle
done.
It.
It's all right. You see, this is how you do it.
All right.
You take them and you move them on.
Hi, are you're also from the Philippines, sir?
That's right, sir.
Do you have any interest in picking up
Jesus
the Don
Christ,
and Mike
is
show?
Anybody here from America?
Any interest in picking up the Don and Mike Show for the Philippines?
I've been talking to your representative over there a while back.
And you're interested?
And before I continue, I'd like to say I'm a big fan of yours. I got a couple of air checks way back in WAVA.
Oh, really? And so now you do you have the power to put us on a radio station in the Philippines?
Maybe.
All right,
well, then here you go. Here's a packet for you. And
be
that's,
nice to him, Don.
That's an example take.
Good job.
Okay, thank you.
That's where you are. You're on the fence
on
that one.
I'd like to ask.
Yes.
Is Mike's last name Raffone?
Raffone?
Mike Raffone.
If you'd like that, yes.
If you'll sign us up, we'll do anything.
We'll do anything.
Thank you very much, sir.
If that's the kind of humor they have in the Philippines, we are screwed.
We're going to go over big in the Philippines.
All right. Still looking for name tags?
Well, now this is turning out to be. Now, hold on, let me see. Hold on. Hey, that's a guy that. Look at him go running by. That's a guy that's a general manager of another station in Washington D.C.
Oh, really?
Hey, come on back, Alan. Come on back. Look at him.
He moved quickly.
Oh, he's a brave guy. Well, yeah.
Now, would this be a slow time here in the lobby? Are people eating, exercising? I mean, it seems to be a bit of a slow time right now.
I will say this: we have effectively cleaned the area. We have swept the area, Mike.
Well, that's good, Don. And I think now we're going to get people that come into the area that are interested in picking up the show.
Well, now, hello. Would you like to pick up our show, Alisa? Alisa? What's your name?
Alisa.
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 You want me to host your show? Is that it? No, okay, sure.
Do you have anything to do with a radio station that could pick up our show?
Actually, I am assistant news director at a cable radio station.
She's a student, Don. Alisa, nice talking to you.
Have you ever heard of Tom Gavin? Tom Gavin is the grandfather of cable radio.
He's got a marvelous program.
She recognizes the name.
Marvelous program in Washington, D.C.
All right. Well, listen, this is all the work we can do trying to show the Westwood One people how to sell our program effectively.
Now, Westwood One people, all of you gathered around. And now, Chris Ann, you're our lifeline to all of this. Have you met anybody or seen anybody during this period of time? Has this helped you at all?
Of course it's helped me immensely.
Thanks a lot.
Can I give you some advice, Chris Ann? And I mean this right. Show some leg. That would be my advice. Show some leg. You know,
the Don and Mike Show can bring this kind of sexism to your radio station.
For the good of the show. Listen,
as that commercial says, you've got a lot of things. Have you seen that commercial where the guy talks to the woman in the office?
When she gets smaller and smaller.
When she gets smaller, he says, you could go far in this company, baby.
And then Chris Ann looks back at you. No, I can't. And I'm not going to take it.
All right. Well, this is the hell that is the NAB convention. We've got to do a break. Oh, as the crowd sighs in relief. Thank goodness they're going to turn the microphones off.
The monsters have returned to their lair.
And we will be right back.
Radio needs a good kick in the ass.